Hi, everybody. Welcome to day two of Making Deep Noises. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom, and my name is Steve. I'm your host for this month's nature feature, found on pages 38 and 39 of your August Advanced magazine. Now, in the studio to help me teach this lesson is Linda. Welcome back, Linda.
Thank you, Steve. I'm glad to be back.
And Albert. Hi, Albert.
Hi, everyone. I brought my passport. I'm ready to go on an adventure.
Good. I hope you guys are ready, and thank you for being here helping to explain our lesson. And we thank you again, friends. We know you have a lot of choices in how you take in your English and challenge yourself with English, and so we thank you for choosing Advanced to do that. Now, before we get into today's lesson, it is our custom to pick a point from yesterday and summarize it for our listeners. We'll start with you, Linda. What would you like to reiterate for our friends?
Well, I find it fascinating that they were able to get a microphone all the way to the deepest part of the ocean. They have to use technology to make sure, you know, that device doesn't get crushed, because as we talked about yesterday, the pressure at that point is just overwhelming.
It is. It is. Thank you. Yes, Albert?
Let's see. I want to highlight one of our vocabulary focus words, chasm, as a little kid. I really like saying this word. And the definition is, a chasm is a deep divide, either literally or literal or figuratively, such as a giant chasm in an ice cap or the growing chasm between two friends who haven't spoken in a long time.
Very good. I will talk about oceanographer, and these are the guys who are in charge of this whole project. And taking apart this word, ocean, we know what that is. It's the seas. And the graph there at the end means to write or describe. And so one of the jobs of an oceanographer is to map the ocean floor. And that takes us nicely into today's reading, mapping the sound of the ocean. So let's open our magazines to page 39. If you haven't so far, if you have the ability, if you're not driving your car or doing something, then you can open your magazines and read along with us at the top of the page.
Mapping the sound of the ocean. The research is part of a broader effort to monitor increasing levels of man-made noise in the world's oceans and their effect on marine life. Our goal is to make comprehensive sound maps of the ocean, Ziak explained. The team targeted the Challenger Deep for baseline recordings because they expected the slot-shaped canyon to be largely insulated from the global cacophony. So they were surprised as they began analyzing the recordings.
Okay, so we're mapping the sound of the ocean, not just the ocean floor, but getting an idea of what kind of sounds are in the ocean, especially in the deepest part of the ocean. Okay, Albert, what's going on here? Take us into this paragraph, please.
The main goal is they want to make sure, like, oh, you know, we have all these man-made noise in the world's ocean from boats, equipment, drilling equipment, fiber optics, internet cables running through, and they want to know if there is any effect, negative or positive, on marine life. So they're using this way to map the ocean and listen and probably get some feedback and data points.
Okay. Sometimes we see in the news that animals like whales, other marine life, they'll beach themselves, right? They'll swim up to a beach and then they'll get stuck on the beach outside of the water, and they'll slowly die. And that's a mystery. Why would animals do that? And some people believe it's because there's noise in the ocean and it kind of throws off the animal's navigation system, the internal navigation system. And so maybe there's a connection there. Maybe animals are doing that because of the noise, the man-made noise. These ships and submarines, as you said, Albert, there's underwater cable. Maybe these cables are throwing off some kind of, undetectable noise to humans, but the fish and the animals can detect it. And so it affects their migration patterns, right? Same thing with birds. Sometimes birds will behave in a strange way. They'll behave in an aggressive way towards humans, and maybe there's a connection. We don't know yet. And so part of this mapping of the sounds is to determine whether, in fact, these man-made noises do affect the animals in a bad way or a harmful way. So their goal is to make comprehensive sound maps of the ocean. All right, the next paragraph, Linda, what does that say?
Well, they targeted the Challenger Deep for their research, and that's because they expected the deepest part of the ocean to be really quiet because it's insulated. Insulate means to protect someone or something from outside influences because it's this chasm. It should be insulated from outside sounds, but they found out that they were actually surprised at what they found out.
Yeah, you talked about insulated for a moment, and that's a very well-chosen word, I think, by the author, because we say insulated to help protect people from outside noises, actually. There's insulation in this recording studio right now to keep things quiet. There's insulation around wires to keep the electricity inside the wire. And so it's a good word for this article. And cacophony, I love that sound, I love that word. It's just an unpleasant mixture of loud sounds, cacophony.
Yeah, I like that word as well. Cacophony can come from mixing, let's say, two pieces of music. Like, on their own, each is really beautiful, mm-hmm. but if you happen to play them at the same time, it becomes this really awful sound, this cacophony.
Yes. Yeah. Usually when I hear this word, I usually think of an orchestra before a concert. They'll like tune their musical instruments.
Yes.
It's a jingle and mix.
I've thought of that as well. Yeah. Cacophony. Or maybe if you're in a room with a lot of kids playing, running around, shouting and screaming, you call that a cacophony as well. So I think scientists would expect a loud noise or a cacophony of sound at higher levels towards the ocean's surface, but they were surprised when they went this deep. They were not expecting a cacophony of sound.
I think this reminds me of how, so I'm from California, and people are always surprised, like, in the desert. Well, California itself is a desert, but where there's no urban cities or landscape or whatnot, that it gets really cold at night. And the reason is because in the desert, it's so empty, there's no insulation for heat or retention of heat. So people can freeze to death if they're hiking or camping out in the desert, even if it's summertime.
Wow.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe in the ocean because, we mentioned before, because there's not that much things there, maybe sound travels really well. Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, let's go to the next reading on line 13, where two plates collide, and find the source of another cacophony of sound.
Where two plates collide. The Mariana Trench is a seismically active subduction zone where one plate dives under another. So earthquakes were a regular occurrence. Captured by the hydrophone, the rumble of the quakes builds in intensity like an approaching train. Ship noise is higher pitched and more rhythmic. The nearby island of Guam is on a major transoceanic route, so vessel traffic was a nearly constant source of noise in the environment, the researchers found. Hearing the whales. The level of conversation between marine mammals picked up by the hydrophones was unexpected, Ziak said. Few whales dive much deeper than about a mile, yet their voices travel clearly to the bottom of the trench. A baleen whale of unknown type captured on the recording seems to mimic a foghorn, while the deep-pitched calls of a toothed whale or dolphin sound like muffled thunder.
Where two plates collide. Okay. The Mariana Trench is very active. There's a lot of earthquake activity there, and we see the word seismically active on line 14. That's kind of a big scientific word, seismically. And that prefix there, size, means to shake. So we use this word often when we're talking about earthquakes. A seismologist is someone who studies earthquakes. A seismometer is something that measures the intensity of earthquakes. So this Mariana Trench is seismically active. There's a lot of earthquakes because it's a subduction zone. Albert, what is a subduction zone?
A subduction zone is an area that marks where two tectonic plates collide and one place is forced to move underneath the other. I feel like the best way to describe Earth and its many layers is like a cake. You know, there's like different little layers, and on top of that, or each layer on itself is like they're sitting on little plates or continents. We think of it as continents. And they move around. They slide. And then there's tons of energy underneath all of that. And there's like pressure and forces colliding. It's constantly moving back and forth. And sometimes when we feel it, it's because, when we feel it, it's called an earthquake. And it's because one of these plates has slipped and it's shaken everything up above that layer.
Right. Okay. And the plates and the subduction of a plate is what caused that tremendous amount release of energy many years ago, not too long ago,
right,
for the tsunami, right, back in the Indian Ocean.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was the cause of that. So tremendous amounts of energy are being expended when these plates move and slip.
Right, and it's just constantly going on. I feel like it's something that we can't really imagine. You know, we take for granted, like, oh, you know, the ground beneath us, it's solid.
Yeah, but it's not really that solid. It's moving all the while. And earthquakes there in this area are a regular occurrence. But these earthquakes were captured by the hydrophone. Linda, what did it sound like?
Well, it sounded like an approaching train. And just like the other examples that they've given, or the adjectives that they've used to describe the sounds, it's very intense, very loud sounds.
Yes, I think it's interesting that a lot of people use this analogy when they're talking about loud oncoming sounds. People who experience tornadoes in the United States often talk about, I was in my basement, and then I just heard this sound like this massive train coming, you know, locomotive. It's getting louder and louder. And if you've ever been to a train station, or if you've ever stood next to train tracks, when a train goes by, it's a lot of noise.
Right.
A lot of energy coming towards you. And so that's a good way to describe a loud, intense noise coming towards you. This train, approaching train. How about line 19, Albert? What about ship noise?
Well, ship noise, which makes sense, they say is high-pitched and more rhythmic. And I feel like it makes sense because ships, we have these massive engines and they drive a propeller, and it's, you know, something that's just turning in a circular motion, so it would be repeating. It's something that you could identify easily.
Right. I think of movies with submarines and they're listening to each other, like Hunt for Red October, where you can actually listen to the engine of another submarine underwater,
right,
and identify the boat because of that. And this is all getting picked up on the hydrophone. Okay, why is Guam so noisy, Linda?
Well, it's on a major transoceanic route, so there is a lot of traffic, ship traffic, that's moving past this area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trans there, the prefix means across. And so across the ocean, these ships are going from Asia to North America or Central or South America. And so there's a lot of ships going by creating this noise. So that's one source, or those are a few sources. We have the earthquakes, and we have the ship noise. Let's talk about hearing the whales. Take us into this paragraph, if you would, Albert.
This is so beautiful. Like something I, you know, going into this article didn't expect either, which was marine mammals, the conversation, the life is being picked up by the hydrophones as well. You know, fish, they communicate with each other. Mammals, they communicate with each other, even underwater. So it's so beautiful that they're able to hear whales talk to each other.
That is cool. Again, if you want to listen to whales and wonder, if you're wondering what whales sound like, go online to Google or some kind of YouTube clip and type that in. You'll hear it and find that they create some very beautiful, eerie, weird noises, but they are communicating nonetheless with each other.
Otherworldly.
Yeah, it is. They're having conversations, so they say, so the scientists say. Few whales dive much deeper than about a mile or 1.6 kilometers, yet their voices travel to the bottom of the trench. That's amazing.
Right.
They're not that far below the surface of the water, but their voices can reach long distances.
I feel like it's one of the ways where they've developed this, so it's like they're making essentially a long-distance phone call to be able to reach out and
touch someone.
I was going to say get in touch with another whale, but yeah.
Right. The baleen whale is mentioned in line 29. And that's the whale that you might remember. I don't know if like the underneath of the mouth looks like it has those ribs connected to the mouth.
Is it the Pinocchio? Is that the whale, the same whale?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen Pinocchio in a long time.
I feel like a famous imagery right there is Pinocchio.
But this is the whale that has those, that eats the plankton and the small shrimps. And so it scoops things up, and then through the baleen, through that mesh, it expels the water and eats all that plankton.
Okay. I'm looking at Steve because I feel like all whales eat plankton, but I could be wrong.
Many whales do.
Yeah.
So that's the baleen whale.
That's awesome.
And it's captured on the recordings, mimicking a foghorn, interestingly enough. I wonder if it is, in fact, mimicking. You know, some animals do that. Parrots do that, and monkeys mimic. So whales have the ability to mimic as well, a foghorn. Now there's the toothed whale, or the that's a different kind of whale, Albert, where these whales will eat more of fish or squid.
Wow.
You know, you hear about those fights between the whales and the giant squids.
Right.
This is the kind of whale that will eat those squids.
That I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And these kinds of whales sound like what, Linda?
Muffled thunder. And we see the word muffled, which describes a sound that is not quiet or clear.
And yesterday, we talked about booming cries of whales and the rumble of passing ships overhead. And so I talked about thunder. So there's that relationship there again, booming thunder, the rumble of thunder in the distance. And so if you want to know what sounds are being made underwater, think of thunder underwater.
Oh, right. And I just wanted to clarify, I think this is what Linda was going for, but it is sounds muffled or sounds that are quiet.
They are quiet, or they're made quiet? They're made quiet, yeah. And so you have on scooters and cars, you have what's called a muffler. So the sound that your engine makes is very loud. And if you have a muffler on your scooter, it quiets that sound and it makes it softens the noise, yeah.
That's a very good point. And if you're a teenager with a scooter, usually they'll change the muffler and make it even louder.
Which is illegal.
Illegal.
Right? Yeah, but they still do it. Okay, let's go to the top of the right-hand column and continue our reading about hearing the whales.
The hydrophone also recorded the roar of a typhoon, churning the surface 200 miles north of the trench. There was a huge amount of energy, high winds, big waves that made the whole basin noisy, Ziak said. What's next? The project clearly shows that man-made noise is present even in some of the most remote corners of the planet. Next, the researchers plan to deploy hydrophones under the Arctic ice cap to measure sound levels there before melting opens the area to more ship traffic. And they hope to return to the Challenger Deep in 2017, this time deploying a camera along with the hydrophones.
All right, besides earthquakes and ships and whales, what else are we hearing under the water, Linda?
Well, the hydrophone is also picking up the sounds of a typhoon, and here we see the word roar, which also tells us that it's a very loud sound. So the typhoon is turning around in the ocean, and the hydrophones are picking up those noises.
Okay, the word churning, Albert, help us with this.
Whenever I hear the word churning, I imagine old-fashioned butter being made where, you know, they have a stick and they turn it slowly to, like, turn the liquid into a semi-solid.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, churn is to mix something, especially liquid, with great force.
Okay, sometimes if you have an upset stomach, right, you say, oh, my stomach is churning. There's something going on inside. There's this force inside your stomach with maybe something you ate or drank, and it's making you feel sick.
I never knew that.
Yeah, you say that with our stomach is churning. So the ocean can churn as well, and typhoons do that. They're so powerful, they churn the water. And this microphone, this hydrophone at the bottom of the ocean, is picking up the storm at the surface. Pretty amazing. Not only that, but the storm is 200 miles away, you know, at the surface. So very, very sensitive hydrophone. There was a huge amount of energy with the winds and the waves that made the whole basin noisy, and that's expected. When you go swimming after a typhoon or right before a typhoon, if you're in the ocean, you'll notice that the water is really dirty and murky. It's being churned up. It's not a good time to go diving because it's so churned up. There's sand and silt, and the visibility is very low. Okay, what's next, Linda?
Well, the project shows that all this man-made noise is present even in some of the furthest corners of the world. And they're planning to use hydrophones under the Arctic ice cap before they start melting and before more ships and traffic reach that area.
Right.
So they want to also, you know, it's part of this sound mapping project, but they also want to compare it to see if, you know, also in this place where you think it would be quiet because there isn't any, you know, ship traffic, there shouldn't be that much noise, but they might be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're going to compare, and they have to do it soon because the ice is melting and there will be more and more ship traffic as the ice melts. So get the microphones down there as soon as possible. See what it's like now, and then you can compare it later when more ships come and see how the marine life respond or are affected by the noise. Okay, and finally, the last paragraph, Albert. Take us home with this.
Well, you know, all of this, and they hope to return to the Challenger Deep in 2017, but this time, you know, they're going to have more equipment, hopefully to be able to record and track more data, animals, just about the ocean itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they're going to deploy a camera along with the hydrophones. Wouldn't that be cool?
Hey, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, as you see there on the right side of page 39 at the bottom, there was a man who went to the bottom where this microphone was located, and his name is Mr. Cameron, James Cameron. He was the man behind the movie Titanic and some other hits, and he went down there in a submersible, and he was there, and so he has some footage. I'm not sure if that footage is available or not. I want to go see if that can be found on YouTube, but that would be very, very cool. And so at least next time there will be a camera with the microphones, and we can see what's down there. If there's nothing down there, Linda, that would be very boring, right?
I mean, it still would be fascinating just to be able to know what's down there, and even if there isn't any, you know, living thing. Still fascinating.
Still fascinating. Imagine something living that deep in the ocean and being able to live and withstand that pressure. What kind of creatures are down there? We have no idea. You know, we've just been down there for a short time. James Cameron in his little submersible. So this is really, really fun to think about, and it's an adventure, and there's a lot of unknowns still, which makes it interesting to pursue and study more about. Friends, we're out of time. So sorry, but we're thankful that you've joined us for this month's nature feature, Making Deep Noises. Thank you again, and please join us next time for the next advanced lesson. Until then, we hope all of you have a great day. Bye-bye.